Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us on this fourth Sunday in Advent comes from the gospel lesson, again, starting at verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1. Now, the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. So, Joseph, what are you going to do? You weren't counting on this. You met a nice, virtuous girl, so you thought. You took the plunge, you made her your wife-to-be. She's only grown dearer to your heart, and that's why this is so painful. You've been looking forward to starting a family, and here she is, pregnant. Of all the girls, you never thought Mary would be the one to do something like this. And that would be hard enough to deal with, but listen to what she says about this. She says the baby conceived in her was by the Holy Spirit as an angel declared God's word to her. Wow. So, Joseph, what are you going to do? You're a righteous man. Clearly, this marriage can't happen. Goodness knows, you've got grounds to end this engagement. Perhaps even more than that. But you're a loving man, too, and no matter what Mary's done, you don't want her to suffer. Maybe she's got the right idea, packing a bag, heading to her cousin's house to lay low for a while. Why don't you follow that cue and just divorce her quietly? Because it's going to take an act of God for the two of you to stay together at this point. Which, of course, is exactly what it took and what happened. An angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream and says, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to you as your wife, for what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The angel confirms Mary's story. The child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. It's going to be a boy. Joseph is to name him Jesus, Yeshua, which means the Lord saves. This child will not just be a great prophet or priest or teacher. This child is God's own son. Joseph, it's true. Every bit of it. So, Joseph wakes up. He proceeds to marry Mary, after all. Life has gone from normal to scandal to God's intervention. But when he takes her for his wife, Joseph knows Mary has kept her word and her virtue. She has God's word on that. However, do not discount the awkward position in which he finds himself. He must now defend the story he himself didn't believe when Mary first told it to him. Can you imagine? Yes, I'm still engaged to Mary. Yes, she's pregnant, but that doesn't bother me because the Father is the Holy Spirit. How do I know? An angel told me in a dream. Really? That's amazing, isn't it? That neither Joseph nor Mary are ruined by worrying about what other people are going to think. Instead, they place their trust in the word that they've heard. Now, of course, they're going to have their human moments. Moments of doubt, moments of fear, moments of apprehension, fatigue, you name it. But in the face of all kinds of pressure, their bottom line is simple. This is what God has said. Period. Doesn't look likely. Doesn't look possible. But this is what God has said, and so we're going to go with what God has said. And that kind of acceptance is the essence of faith. Now, remembering Joseph and Mary's experience gives us the opportunity to look in the mirror today. How foolish are you willing to look for the sake of Christ? As foolish as Joseph must have looked and felt? How much pressure am I willing to endure from acquaintances, colleagues, not to mention friends and family, for going with what God has said and for making my decisions in life accordingly? Now, somebody could always respond, well, come on, Joseph and Mary could stand strong. They had angels appearing to them. True. But the same God who sent angel messengers to them has sent you his message in written form. That's no less of a miracle if you're aware of how the Bible has been passed down to us in this present day. So back to the questions. What price are you willing to pay for being known as a Jesus follower? The kind of price Joseph paid? Or Mary in terms of reputation? How people were looking at them? How much do you care what an unbelieving world thinks about you? God has communicated his way of life to you in his word. Are you letting his words be your bottom line? Another question. What do you think would happen if you renewed your commitment to living like Joseph and Mary, which is to say, in your mind and heart, saying whatever God has said about a thing is what it is, and I'm going to go with that. Now, of course, to say that and mean it is to renew your commitment to knowing what God has actually said in his word, studying Holy Scripture, his letter to you about reality and about his mission to save the world, which includes you and me. What would happen if you renewed to make God's word your bottom line in the decisions you're asked to make? What would happen in your home if the word was really the heart and center of it, the things that happen there? How might this community, Chester Township, be changed if we resolved to live the word out there where the people are? What might change in our congregation if we renewed our commitment to know what God's word says and to do it according to our Father's will? Mary and Joseph, human as they were, with all their weaknesses and dark moments, show us what true courage is like. True courage is looking around at the circumstances and saying, this doesn't look good, this doesn't look likely, this doesn't even look possible, but God has said something about it. And we're going to go with what God has said. Because what matters most is being found faithful by God. What matters is living in His grace now and His glory forever. And let's not forget that the child that Mary gave birth to and that Joseph protected and raised was their redemption and is your redemption as well. That child escaped death as a baby because the time for his sacrifice had not yet come, but he would not escape death forever. He would be put to death at the hands of men in his early 30s, but this was no mistake. It was the required price for the sin of all people. It was the required price for your sin and mine. Jesus himself would come to learn the full meaning of, "My Father said it, so I'm going to go with it." He would go with it all the way to his cross and his tomb so that you could be declared innocent, not guilty. An unblemished record is yours. Jesus took your sentence, put all of your trust in this. And if you need an example of what to do next, look to the courageous and very real people who were entrusted with caring for God's own Son for a time. And learn from Mary and Joseph this point of view. It doesn't look good. It doesn't look likely. It doesn't even look possible. But God said it. And so we're going to go with it. And what has God said over you? He has said that you are forgiven of every last sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.